Hello and welcome to Haven, the young adult ministry of LCC Reading, a place where restoration through Christ can be found. You're listening to a message from our Sunday evening worship service, where we desire to rally young adults to the Word of God, the mission of Jesus, and the leading of the Holy Spirit, then release into our classrooms, workplaces, and families to rally others to Jesus. Enjoy the following message.
God, we are grateful for these evenings. We celebrate with you that you would give us a family here to call home. We may be strangers. We may not have the same last name or DNA, but we're all brothers and sisters because of you and your son, because of your outrageous love towards humanity. Would you awaken us to that love? Would you awaken us to the seasons that you have us in our lives, the chapters of our life that we're living currently and how that is to be used? Would we hear from you this evening, Lord? Lord, comfort us in areas of our lives where comfort is needed. And graciously, gently, Holy Spirit, convict us in areas of our lives where conviction is needed, that might lead to repentance, just seeking your face for forgiveness. And you promise that you are faithful to forgive us. Would we rest in that and experience life and life abundantly? And God, not above anything else we just asked for, but maybe alongside, would you help the Dodgers to win tonight? In your holy name, amen. Amen. I'll be praying for your salvations. We'll get through this together. Here we go. A month ago or so, don't be checking your phones right now, okay? Let's focus on Bible, Jesus. It's tied 1-1, but just focus on the Bible. A month ago, I went to our man camp and spent some time with some young adults, and we explored some caves in our area. Have any of you guys ever heard of, I think it's called Pluto's Cave or Pluto's Caves? Show of hands, any of you guys ever heard of this? This is one photo of Pluto's Cave. It's in our area. It's up north of Weed, a beautiful area. These are old lava flows where lava would flow under the ground, and at some point in history, some of the ground gave and fell and showed us these beautiful caves. This is a photo taken by John Zane. John Zane is a high school senior, beautiful photographer. Find him on Instagram. But we would explore. Can you see the little bitty humans down at the bottom right there? These huge caves. Beautiful, beautiful caves. And just last weekend, our servant leaders here at Haven, we went up and spent a weekend together. We had a little leadership summit, and we went hiking. Any of you guys ever been up to Castle Lake? Castle Lake, show hands, this beautiful hike. And we hiked to the top there. You can go ahead and show that one, Brendan. And there's the team, part of the team there. But this beautiful cliff that oversees this valley. You got Mount Shasta up to your right, Black Butte down to your left. You can't see it because there's something maybe better looking in front of us. But below those people, there's a lake down there, this beautiful Castle Lake. Who here loves to explore God's creation? Show hands. You guys like to hike big cliffs? Show hands. How many of you guys like the caves? Show hands. That rest of you claustrophobic? Just not your thing, okay? I love it. I love it. There are times in our lives where we purpose to get away, where we purpose maybe to explore some caves, to find a space that is quiet, to find a space to listen to God, to hear of his voice for circumstances we find ourselves in. There are times where we purpose to hike high up into the cliffs and sit quietly, to be still. And it's not because God doesn't speak in the plains of life, but sometimes our circumstances are just so noisy that it's hard to hear God speak. Amen? Anyone else? And sometimes we choose to do this. Sometimes we purpose to make we plan this summit. I plan for a while. We're going to do this. We're going to go here. We're going to hike this place. We're going to hang out. We're going to seek God. Sometimes, though, if we had to be really honest, there are times in our lives where circumstances dictate where we find ourselves, and we may find ourselves in the caves of life, very dark, seemingly very lonely, very quiet. We get pushed into these caves, and we're hiding out, hoping that whatever our circumstances are, that they will pass. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes life pushes us there. Do you have a place that you like to withdraw to? This is rhetorical, meaning just think upon it yourself, right? Do you have a place that you like to withdraw to? Do you have a place that you get away just to be still and be quiet before God? If not, I might just encourage you and exhort you to consider such a place. For me, there are beautiful places around here that God has created. We live in such a beautiful area, but quite honestly, mine is just my car, just being alone in my car and just drive. I'll drive, like sometimes I'll go drive to like Red Bluff for coffee just to hang out for the day and drive back just because I like that drive time. That's my quiet place, right? My secret place. Do you have a place like that? And you purpose to do that. But sometimes, do you also feel like your current state of living is living in a cave? Do you feel like circumstances around you have pushed you to a place of darkness, to a place where you really need to hear God speak and you're not going to move until you do so because of the noise of things around you? And again, maybe you haven't planned to be there, but things have happened in your life where you are pushed to be there, to explore a cave of life, if you may. There's three points. I'm going to give you the application before we even dive into the passages. There's three points of application that I want us to draw out that I think is for us this day, okay? Three things. One, when you find yourselves in the caves of life or the cliffs of life, when you find yourself in the caves of life, you are never alone. That's number one. Number two, when you find yourself living in caves, you need to be reminded that this time and place is purpose to hear from God. It's not just to wait. It's not just to buy time until something changes. It's to hear from God. And number three, this type of living, this cave type of living is never permanent. It's always temporary. There comes a time where you need to get down from the cliff. There comes a time where you need to come out from under the ground and you need to engage in the life that God has called you to engage in, to influence the areas God has called you to influence. We're looking at cave living, talking about cave living. Why are we talking about this? This is where David finds himself on more than one occasion. How many of you guys have heard of David, King David? We've been talking about him for a couple weeks. Let me catch some of you guys up who have not been with us, just to give you some context of the book of 1 Samuel, all right? 1 Samuel begins in a day and a time of history where people were doing what was right in their own eyes as opposed to asking God, how do you want me to live my life? It says, the scriptures say that they were doing what was right in their own eyes and there was no king. There were priests, there were prophets, there were people that were called judges, not like a gavel, black curtain type of judge, curtain. They don't wear curtains, they wear gowns, right? Some of them maybe big enough to wear a curtain. But gavel, not that type of a judge, right? Someone that is just a leader, an overseer that shares the words of God, the teachings of God. And that was what God had set up in this time and day. And because people were doing things that were right in their own eyes and not seeking God, they began to have ideas like this. You know what? We don't like the system that God has set up, but we see the system that nations around us have. That's attractive. We want that. So there comes a point where they come and they approach this man named Samuel. Say Samuel. Samuel was the priest of that day. He was the prophet of that day. He was the judge of that day. He was the man that God had chosen to facilitate his words, to lead his people in that day. And so the nation, I don't know if it's like the whole nation, all millions or just a few of them, someone communicates to Samuel and says, hey, Sam. He says, yeah, you guys want to talk? You want to hear what's going on? You want to know what God has for you? And they say, no. Listen, buddy, you're old, and we know that because your hair is gray and it's receding, and your kids are no good, and we want a king, is what they say. We want a king. You're no good, bro. You're out. You ain't woke enough, or whatever the kids are saying these days, right? Right? You're out. We don't want you. That's what he says. Samuel, obviously discouraged, goes to God and says, God, what's going on? Like, I thought I'm doing what you called me to do. And God says, Sam, it's not you, it's them. Don't worry about it. Let's give them what they want. If this is what they want, let's give them what they want. Sometimes God loves us enough to give us exactly what we're asking for. May we be careful what we ask for. I read this quote last week, and it stuck with me throughout the week. I can't ditch it, even in conversations with people. It's C.S. Lewis. I don't know which book it is. I want to say The Great Divorce, but C.S. Lewis writes, at the end of time, there are only two types of people. There's a person that will face God, and the person will say to God, thy will be done. The other type of a person is the person that will face God, and God will say to the person, thy will be done. You adamantly choose to be with Jesus, to follow God, to obey God, to do his will, or you say, God, I want my will, and God will say, if this is what you want, so be it. So the people say to Samuel, we want a king. And God and Samuel talk. And God says, don't worry, dude. I'm in this. Don't worry about it. It's not you. Let's give him a king. So they give him a king. God gives him the king that everyone would dream of. It's Saul. His name is Saul. Say Saul. Saul is to the eye the king that people would want. He's tall. He's handsome. The writer says he's good looking. The same word good shows up in Genesis when God created something. He said, man, this is good. It's that same. There's something special about Saul and the way he looked. Said he was taller than everyone from the shoulders up. Again, I don't know if that's a giraffe neck thing. I don't know what's going on there, if that's attractive in that day, but something about Saul was attractive. Something that the people said, yeah, this is our guy. Saul begins to lead and he does all right. There comes a point in his life where Saul disobeys God. He begins to carry out sacrifice that he wasn't to carry out, only the priest was. And it starts with maybe half obedience in some areas of life and then full disobedience in other areas of life. His pride rages up. He's being led mostly by his insecurity as opposed to his identity in God. And God comes to him by way of Samuel and says, tell Saul he's done. His kingship is done. So it happens and Saul begins to slowly go crazy because he sees his leadership slipping from his tight grip and he doesn't know what to do. You could argue that he goes insane. There are stories in just 1 Samuel alone with Saul and David that is unreal. I mean, you guys should just spend some time just combing through 1 Samuel on your own one day. Game of Thrones has nothing on the Bible. HBO would pick this up in a heartbeat. If anyone wants to write and pitch, talk to me. We'll go and we'll sell this thing. But it would be an amazing story. All of culture would be about it. So Saul goes crazy, and there are several attempts that Saul makes to kill David because he sees David and the people rising up behind David and loving David, and he sees what they're giving David, and he doesn't like it because he's not getting it. And so he says, man, if I could just wipe David out, then maybe I'll still be king. Maybe my son Jonathan will be king. So he begins to seek David for his head. I mean, there are scenes in here, you can read about it, where one time, like, David's just in there helping Saul, playing an instrument. This is how we're introduced to David. We're introduced to David as just this little ruddy shepherd boy that can play a guitar. And Saul has bad headaches, migraines, whatever's going on with Saul. He says, I need some music. Can someone play some music? And they bring David and he plays music and it helps Saul in his head. So that's how we're introduced. But then it comes to a point where David kills Goliath. He rises in popularity. And Saul's throwing spears at David. Like, come in and play the guitar. And then throws spears. So he's chasing David. And David does what any God-fearing person would do when someone's about to kill you. He runs. He runs. And circumstances have dictated where he finds himself in more than one occasion, and that's in the caves. That's where we find ourselves in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1. Say preach if you're with me. Here we go, if you insist. David, therefore, departed. He vanished, right? He got out of there. He had come to a place where he had found himself lying. He was on the run, and he was lying to people. People would ask, David, aren't you the guy who killed Goliath? What's going on? He'd say, oh, the king sent me on a special mission, and I'm here, and we need something. No king sent him on a special mission. David was running for his life. Got to a point where he'd lied about his sanity. He's in the midst of someone, just verses before, you can look through this. He's in the midst of this people group, and they're like, this is David, this is the guy who killed Goliath, and he doesn't know what to do. He freaks out, right? Pastor Caleb talked about it a little bit last week, starts drooling on his beard and going nuts, looking kind of, I'm not going to name what he looks like, but he looks a little nutty, right? Nuts, just doesn't know what to do. Confused. Wondering, where's God in this? Wondering, I thought God spoke to me and said I was to do this thing. This isn't happening. This isn't how I pictured life going. Have you been there? David therefore departed from there and escaped, got out, fled to the cave of Adullam. The cave of Adullam. Now listen, I was in this cave about 5 years ago. I didn't have a good enough camera to capture stuff inside the cave because it is dark as dark as dark. But when you light a single candle, which I should have done and taken a picture, but when you light a single candle, that whole cave lights up. But I want to show you a quick video just so you guys can get there. This is what it looks like outside the cave. Just on this hillside, just hidden. It's not like the big Pluto's cave. This is outside the cave. And I don't think we're going to see the door down to the left. And then I do this whatever I'm trying to do in the sky. Okay, so this is the cave. This is the cave that David flees and runs to, just on the side of a hill. This is the entrance to this cave, the Cave of Adullam. This is the entrance. Look how small that entrance is. Each man had to get in there one at a time, and you'd get in by slowly backing down into the cave. We're going to read about it here in a minute, but David gets 400 people into this cave. Now, you look at that size of that hole, and you think, how could 400 people fit underground? I'll tell you what, when you're under there, there's different fingers into this cave that you can go back forever and easily hide 400 people in there. And it is so deep and so far away from any natural life that you could probably have a party under there and still the people at the top of the cave would not hear a single sound. But this is the cave. David finds himself hiding out in caves. He also finds himself hiding out in the wilderness, in cliffs. Can you throw up that picture of the wilderness, Brendan? The wilderness of Judah. This is where David will find. David writes some beautiful psalms from here. And I don't know, this is like, I've never been to the Grand Canyon, but I assume this is kind of what it's like. I don't know, anyone been there? No? Okay. This like little speck right there, that's a person right there. I don't know if you can see that. I can't keep my hand steady. But these are the places that David is running to. These are the places that David is hiding out in. First, he starts in a cave, and then he'll end up in a cliff by verse 5. But look like this. Look like this. Look at this. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, say distress. Everyone who was in debt, say debt. And everyone who was, say it with me, discontented, gathered to him. We'll come back to the end of the night. So he became captain over them, and there were about, again, 400 men with him. 400 men with him. Coming back to points of application, what's the first thing that we need to know when we find ourselves pushed into living amongst the caves and in the caves? We are not alone. We are not alone. The first thing we need to know about withdrawing to caves or cliffs, as we'll see later, is that we are never alone. The first thing we see is that his brothers and his family went to him. As followers of Jesus, as people who call one another brothers and sisters in Christ, when we hear of another one whose life has pushed them to living in caves, we better be there. We need to be there. Romans 12, pretty clear, right? Weep with those that weep. Celebrate with those that celebrate. His family hears of the circumstances and says, we're there. I think they're also there because Saul's probably going to kill them too. But they're there. 400 men come to his side. I think no human being should ever enter a cave alone. As followers of Jesus, we should be there. Sometimes we enter these caves and these lookouts of life, but we need to know we're not alone. We need to look around once in a while when we feel like the current chapter of life is filled with running, is filled with hiding, with confusion. We need to look around and recognize we're not in this cave alone. That there are people here who can minister to me and that I too can minister to. I think too many young adults find themselves in cave seasons of life or cave chapters of life. And maybe not because they've chosen to run there, but life has compelled them to be there. And we are entering alone and we're finding a corner to remain alone and we're never coming out. That's not the life God has created you to live or called you to live. And we don't even know why we're there or what to do while we're there. But can I give you a hint of why we're there and what to do while we're there? Remember, caves and cliffs are not for living, but for hearing from God. Verse 3, look at this. So David's in this cave.
His family comes. 400 other dudes that he's never met before joins him.
Then David went from there to Mizpah of Moab. And Mizpah simply means like a watchtower or a lookout, maybe something high like we had looked at Castle Lake, something high to look out. If you're running, you want to get high to see who's chasing you or who's coming from miles away, right? So David says his cave thing isn't working. It's kind of stinky. There's 400 of us. We need to find a bathroom. Let's get out of here, whatever the reason was. And he heads to Moab, to this tower, this cliff. And he said to the king of Moab, "Please let my father and mother come here with you. Why? Till I know what God will do for me." David's running because circumstances has forced him to run. But as he's running, he's not waiting for something to change. He's seeking the heart of God. He's seeking the voice of God. "Till I know what God will do for me." So he brought them before the king of Moab. And they dwelt with him all the time that David was in the stronghold or the tower or the Mizpah or the lookout. The reason David went to Moab is his great-grandmother was someone by the name of Ruth. Say Ruth. Ruth was from Moab. That's where her family originated. Ruth, her life gets turned upside down. She decides to go with her mother-in-law to live in the promised land, leaves everything behind in Moab. So I think David, quite honestly, is like, "Well, my family's with me. I got to get them to a safe place." I remember stories of great-grandma always talking about, "Let's get to Moab, and maybe we can find some peace with them. And from there, I can look to see what's going on." There are appropriate times in our lives to go deep into a cave or high into a place or look out to hear from God. And although God can surely speak amongst the plains of everyday life, sometimes our circumstances, again, are so loud we can't hear. We can't hear. That's when we can find ourselves departing from the plains, entering the caves, the depths of the earth, or entering the high hills to simply be still and hear the voice of God. Withdraw. This is something that Jesus did often. He modeled this, did he not? You guys might remember this passage. It's in Luke. I'll put it up before you. Luke chapter 5. This is what's spoken of about Jesus. "So he himself often," say often, "often withdrew into the wilderness and did what? Prayed." Withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Here's another photo from one of my trips to Israel. This is called the Arbel Cliffs. Right there is the Sea of Galilee before you at the top. And this is a cliff up high that is a place where Jesus would withdraw to pray. Isn't that a beautiful place to go and pray? Isn't that a beautiful place to escape and just be still and listen to God? Is it not? This is, I think, where withdrawing has kind of maybe been a problem amongst some young adults. Because withdrawing, it's not withdrawing that's the problem, but it's living withdrawn that is the problem. Often Jesus would withdraw, but he never lived withdrawn from the people or the places that God had called him to live. He went away to pray. He went away to be still. He went away to hear from God. And then to re-enter the mission that God had called him to. Cave life is not a forever living. It's a temporary living to withdraw, to regroup, to put perspective and our heart in order and re-enter what God has before us. This is exactly what Jesus did. This is exactly what Jesus did. Sometimes God uses others to speak to us, right? Any of you ever experienced that? You're praying about something, God uses someone to come and encourage you in a direction that you're like, "Oh, this is absolutely the Holy Spirit. God's hand is all over this." I'm so grateful for the prophets, if I could use that language, for the prophets in my life, the people, the men and women that God has used to come to me and speak the heart of God and lead me in a direction. Sometimes we need the leading of another in the caves or the cliffs of life, right? Look at this, verse 5. "Now the prophet Gad," say Gad, "the prophet Gad came to David and he said, 'Listen, David, do not stay in the stronghold, in the cliff, the lookout, the watchtower, but depart and go to the land of what? Judah.' So David departed and went into the forest of Hereth." Now, there's a lot of Judah that we just saw. I threw up that big picture of the wilderness of Judah. There's a lot of Judah that looks like that. But as you continue to head further and further west, there's a lot of forest. A lot of places where you could kind of hide and be still if you wanted to. And I'm so thankful for the prophet Gad in David's life and the picture that's painted here for us. I'm so grateful for the prophetic voices in my life, but we don't know this answer, but I have to ask, like, why would Gad say this to David? Why would he come to David? Why would God send him to David to say, you got to get out of Moab and you got to get back to Judah? Saul would kind of know what's going on, right? Just practically speaking, we're thinking about this entire story. Can I suggest this? No one exactly is sure why this would happen, but I wonder. Moab was not David's region. Moab may have been a heritage city or land or region of his great-grandmother, but that's not where God had placed him to dwell or the area that God had asked him to influence or lead or serve. Judah was. Could it be that the prophet was asking David to no longer stay in Moab, but get back to the area where God has given you influence, to be amongst the people that God has called you to lead? It's okay to be still. It's okay to hide out for a minute, get some perspective. But can I share with you that even in the cave seasons of your life, I think it's very much appropriate to get away, to withdraw. But I also think if you were to stay and you were to continually seek the heart and face of God, even amongst those circumstances, others are watching you. I wonder if some of Gad's prophetic word was, David, you need to get back to the people. You need to get back to Judah because there's so much that God is going to teach them as they watch you and observe you and how you wait on God and how you seek the heart of God, your character, your response in which Saul is trying to take your life, the way you respond is going to influence the people. Moab wasn't where David was called to live. Judah was David's destiny. Judah was David's place of influence. And I think if you're going to be running, hiding, seeking the voice of God, you might as well do that amongst those God has called you to love and serve, right? Those that God has called you to rally to him. Because even in the process is a message preached by the Holy Spirit to those observing you. Again, I'm so grateful for the prophetic voices in my life. I think some of us here tonight have found ourselves living in the caves or on the cliffs for far too long. And it may have started with you withdrawing, purposed, intentional, but has led to you living withdrawn, and it's time to return to the land, to the people, to the friends, to the family that God has called you to live amongst. And I pray that we would be a generation who withdraws at necessary times for the purpose of reestablishing the order of our hearts and minds to hear clearly from God, that we may continue to rally others to Jesus. I want to point this out. David is entering into a time of his life that will be at times emotionally dark and lonely, spiritually dark and lonely. And even practically, physically, the cave was a dark, dark place. And he could be in these areas for as long as 10 years. And I have to ask, have you been there? Again, rhetorical, have you been there? I mean, some of us in these years of our lives, it feels like your young adult years, however you want to gauge or number those, it just feels like a decade of dark. Am I supposed to live in a cave my whole young adult life? Is that what this life is all about? No, 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 no. Can I remind you what Pastor Brian says often? Pastor Brian often says God does some of his best work in darkness. God does some of his best work in darkness. Think about just creation. Before anything was there, dark. And God spoke it into existence. My wife, beautiful, beautiful wife, pregnant with child. It's the darkest this child will. It's just so dark in the womb, right? But there's a beautiful thing taking place. There is a beautiful work happening, orchestrated, designed, purposed by our Creator, our God, our Savior. God does some of his best work in darkness. To experience that work, that great work, We got to stay close to Jesus. We got to be seeking the face and the voice of God. Did you notice the type of people that joined David? Look at this with me real quick. Verse 2. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. Do you feel that way? Do you feel distressed? Do you feel discontent? Do you feel like you are in a huge debt? You know why I think these men were drawn to David? Because David understood these men. I think these men were drawn to David because they recognized this is a leader that can identify with some of the things I am experiencing currently or have experienced in the past. This picture is the same picture of Jesus. Who are those that are drawn to Jesus? Think of your life, your past, and how you've been drawn to Jesus. Were you discontent? Were you in debt? Were you in distress? Drawn to Jesus. A lot of the same type of people, you and I and those around us, are drawn to Jesus because, you know why? Because Jesus can identify. It's Hebrews. Look at this. I'll put it on the board for you. Hebrews chapter 4, 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest, the writer speaking of Jesus. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly, confidently, courageously to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know what's interesting? Paralleling the greater story of Jesus with even this story of David, much like those who choose to lay down their lives to follow Jesus experience life, so did these men. Think about this. These men, we're first introduced to them as 400 men of distress, debt, and discontent. You know what we read about? You can turn to it later. 2 Samuel 23, 8. You know what it refers to them as? David's mighty men. David's mighty men. You could say they entered the ground distressed, debt, and discontent. And when we read of them again, when they really experienced the hand and the work of God through the chosen leader of the day, David, you know how we read? Mighty men. Just as Jesus went into the ground but came out mighty, full of life. You and I lay our lives down. We identify with Jesus, burying the old man into the ground, into the cave, come out mighty and full of life because we've trusted Jesus with our lives. So did these men trust David and experience the miracle work of God in their lives, no longer defined by their past, by their circumstances, but defined by who God has identified them to be. Mighty men. Do you feel like your life is out of order? This is for some of us. You feel like your life is out of order. You feel like you're on the run. Are you living in a cave? You're not alone, first of all. You're not alone. Jesus is with you. Jesus is with you. And I would invite you to invite God to rule your life. It starts simply by asking God, would you rule my life? Would you forgive me of trying to be king of my life? And would you be king of my life? Would you forgive me? Would you forgive me? You're not alone in the cave. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're experiencing right now. But I have to assure you that your life is not done because God is not done with your life. So don't quit now. Don't bury yourself in the cave. Don't remain in the cave. Don't hide away from everyone else. You're not alone. Speak with someone. Talk to someone. Recognize that we all don't have it figured out. We're just trying to seek the face and the voice of God for what's next. You're not alone. And for all of us, when we find ourselves running to these caves, may we do these three things. May we know we're not alone. May we purpose that time to seek his voice. And may we not set up our house in these caves. This isn't where we're called to live. We're called to live amongst the people. We're called to live open, transparent. We're called to live on our knees, calling out for the voice of God. This is where we're supposed to live. And you know what? I think David knew this. I think David knew his role wasn't to be living on the run his whole life or hiding in the caves or the forest his whole life. And this is why I think he knew this. Psalm chapter 57. Turn there with me if you will. Worship team can come up. Psalm chapter 57. I think it's always important, many of these psalms, to read the little titles. Maybe under it lists Psalm 57. There's usually a little writing. And this isn't just an English thing. Even many of the Jews and the Messianic Jews in Israel still read these titles. And this is what this psalm or song is titled, Prayer for Safety from My Enemies. To the chief musician, there's some instruction here, set to Do Not Destroy. Do you guys know that one? Do Not Destroy, C, D. I'm joking. We don't know what it sounded like. Set to Do Not Destroy, a miktam or a song of David when he fled from Saul into the what? What's it say in your Bible? A little louder, anyone? Cave. Okay, here it is. This is why I knew David. This is why I know David knew his life was not to just be lived amongst in the cave his entire days. Let's read this. I'm going to read it. You listen. Look with your eyes. Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me. We have these writings of David as he's on this run. For my soul does what? It trusts in you. And in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. I don't know if you could see this already, but I don't picture David finding a corner of the cave and just throwing a pity party. He's purposing that time, right? Verse 3, he shall send from heaven and save me. He trusted, he knew this was going to happen. He reproaches the one who should swallow me up. Selah. Rest, consider. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions. I will lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me. Into the midst of it, they themselves have fallen. Selah. This next portion is where David screams what I'm talking about. He says, my heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and I will give praise. Stand up with me. Awake my glory, he says. Awake lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord. Where? Among the peoples. It's hard to praise the Lord among the peoples when you're living in caves your whole life. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing to you, where? Among the nations. For your mercy reaches unto the heavens and your truth unto the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. David may have spent a great portion of his life running, living in caves, abiding in caves for moments, but he knew that's not where his life was to be lived for all of his days. He knew there are purpose times and moments for seasons of life, chapters of life, but he knew in the end he was to praise his God wherever God put him. He was to be amongst the peoples, rallying their attention to God, their creator, and what God has said in his word. And this is who we are to be. But it all starts for us on this side of the cross coming to Jesus. Recognizing the life we have in Jesus. Sitting, abiding at the feet of Jesus. Let's spend these next few moments worshiping Jesus, remembering who he is and all that he's given us. And if you find yourself in a cave right now in your circumstances, know this is not your life. This is not forever, that God wants to speak to you in these moments. We worship you, Jesus, even though we can't understand why some of the things happen the way they do. Lord, like David, I want to put my trust in you. Holy Spirit, align my heart to remain steadfast. Root my heart down to remain steadfast in who you are, in your word, and your promises. Speak to us, O God. Speak to us. We worship you, Jesus.
Thanks for listening. If you want to know more about the ministry of Haven, follow LCC Haven on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Remain encouraged and inspired today as you have been anointed and released to rally others to the Word of God, mission of Jesus, and leading of the Holy Spirit.